Hello and welcome to She's Big Time Now, a podcast for women who are refusing to play small. My guest today is Jamie Greenberg. Jamie is one of Hollywood's most indispensable makeup artists and a highly sought after beauty personality. Her work is seen on red carpets, advertisements, and is often featured in editorials for Allure, Elle, Cosmopolitan, Harper's Bazaar, and more. Some of her celebrity clients have included Tracee Ellis Ross, Chelsea Handler, Lizzie Kaplan, and Rashida Jones, just to name a few. Her unique voice within the industry has also led to many guest appearances on Good Morning America, Pop Sugar, and across the beauty blogosphere. In 2020, she launched her first cosmetic line. On the show, she shares how a random job at Ulta sparked her desire to become a makeup artist, how volunteering her services when others would not opened many doors in her career and led to big opportunities, how she's dealt with rejection from celebrities, and how she launched her very own cosmetic line. Let's get into the show. Jamie to the show. Jamie, you know, a lot of people hear about people like you, like celebrity makeup artists, people who have their own cosmetic line, people who are doing the thing, and they never have a chance to talk to you. So I'm really excited to be able to introduce you to our audience and kind of pick your brain and get to learn a little bit more about what you do and just some of the inspiration that you can give to our ladies who are going to be joining. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Yes, girl, it's like girlfriend time. You know, I get to talk to you and I'm like, tell me all the secrets.
I'll tell you everything. I have nothing to hide.
tell me all the secrets. Well, one of the questions I like to start out with on the show is it's really about uncovering the secret behind your success and why some people make it big and others do not. So the first question I want to ask you is, why do you think you have been so successful, you know, in what you've been able to do as a celebrity makeup artist and just, you know, influencer and all of those things? What would you say is the secret to it?
I think there's a two-parter. And I think the first part is never giving up. And I know that sounds so cliche, but it's true because there were a lot of doors in face in the beginning, you know? So never giving up, but then also bringing a very high vibration to wherever I'm going, a positive attitude. I really think that that gets you so far. People like to be around the light. So if you bring the light,
ooh, I love it.
Everyone's attracted to it, you know? So I didn't even realize I had the power until I got a little older and started to learn about that kind of stuff and that energy thing. And it's true. Like, you know, every time I just had a job before I sat down with you and I loved these girls. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I'm just like attracts like, you know, once you are like tuned into that, it really does happen like that.
No, I love that because that's so true. And even the way you show up, you know, causes people to have a reaction to you and how they respond to you. And a lot of times we don't even realize that. We don't realize, like you said, the impact of that. And have you seen just that energy open doors just from you being in a room?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember in particular, I was an assistant. I had been working in retail for probably around 4 years. And I went to this event with this celebrity makeup artist, and there was a bunch of executives that wanted to have their makeup done. And they asked me if I would do it. They asked me and this other assistant if we would do it. And the other assistant said, well, if they're not paying us, I'm not doing it. And I was like, I'll do it. I ended up having the best time with these women. I didn't have anything to my name. I didn't have a book, nothing. I just worked retail. And these women, one of them was the president of Marc Makeup, which was Avon's like younger line. And she's like, we're going to sign you as our makeup artist. And I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, I got home, like went to like Costco to like develop film. That's how long ago this was. You guys don't know what film is, but some of you
might. I know. I remember.
But that is such a cool experience that you showed up, and also you were willing to give, you know, you were willing to give in that moment, and it led to opportunities.
Everything was like that. Like everything in my career was like, now I'm older and I get a vibe whether or not I want to do it. And I've served my time. So I feel like I can pick and choose now. But for the first, I would say 15 years, I was literally just like, this could be worth it. This could be worth it. This could be worth it. And it is. And even when it's not worth it, you learn more about yourself. Like, I should have known better when they said there was no electricity. You know what I mean? I definitely gave a lot. My whole career started in Ulta. And then I went from Ulta to Bloomingdale's. I worked at Bloomingdale's. And then from there, I freelanced. So I would just be in different stores. And then after that is when, you know, I was starting to get little things here and there. There's a lot of debate over social networks about giving away your goods for free. But back then, that's how you got ahead. You go, you do something, and then you hope it leads to something else.
Giving was a big part in how things used to be in the industry. Tell me about how things used to be in the industry and how you used that tactic of giving to open other doors for you. And do you still think it can be relevant today?
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of debate over social media about giving away your goods for free. And I do feel, though, back in the day, like you were given a lot of opportunities that maybe paid nothing, or they'd give you free product for the job or whatever it was. But there's always this potential to meet somebody, to click with someone, and then they recommend. Like, it's all word of mouth in the beginning. And I do feel like all those situations really got me to where I am today. And I you know, I work with a lot of Gen Z, and none of them want to do anything for free. I mean, you can't even get an intern now. You have to pay interns in the state of California.
I know, back in the days, you'd be like, I'll do it for free. And it is so different now. You're right. Everybody thinks that they have to be paid to do anything, even when they don't have any experience. And do you think that is a hindrance to people trying to come into the field now, especially in the beauty industry, when there's a lot of competition and it's an opportunity to show what you can do? Or do we just feel like we know our value now?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, I'm impressed when I find people that want to go the extra mile and have initiative and feel like hard work is still going to be, you know, recognized. And I think there's like, I don't know. It's like, it's a fine line between laziness and knowing your worth. It's a fine line.
Ooh, there is that fine line. You said, how do you determine, you know, when you should maybe give your services or to get your foot in the door versus saying, hey, I know my value at this point and I don't want to give it away for free? Because as you mentioned, back in the day, many of us, I interned and didn't get paid. I know that's changed now. I mean, I interned for a whole summer at a television station, had to pay my own room, had to get a car to get there, made no money, but it led to my first television job. So that's how we used to do it. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's right. I did the same thing. I was trying to get in film and television too. That's what I thought I wanted to do. And I did the same exact thing you did. If it sings to you, if it's something that speaks to you and you're like, even let's say you want to be a dental hygienist, whatever it is that you want to do, if you get an opportunity to actually be in the arena, I say do, like, give it away. Not every time, but like if you can get in certain places by being a student, so to speak, it will pay off.
So true. So true. And I think life has proven that for me, as I was just sharing. So I think that's really huge because you talked about here you started Ulta, you know, you go to Bloomingdale's, but it's amazing to me. And I'm interested to see how this even happened. But how do you go from working retail to now working with celebrity clients? What was that transition moment? Was it an introduction? Like, you know, we see the people, you know, at the counters working, but you took it to the next level.
It was kind of two things. So when I was working at the counter, because if you bring your high vibration and you talk to everybody and you look at people and treat everybody nicely, not that I was always shining in the lightest light, like definitely have my down days or like, you know, rude customers and stuff. It is retail after all, but you meet people. So I met a producer. He was like, do you want to do reality television? I was like, I met somebody that taught at a beauty school. So I had these side gigs where I would go teach at this beauty school in Chino Hills. And, you know, I was kind of faking it till I made it, you know, and then I was got on this reality show. I literally was like, I'm done. I made it. I have reached the peak of my career. It was called Nanny 911. And I did the nannies. And it was like, we traveled, it, you know, I was like young and it was so much fun.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing.
And I was like, I'm done. And then I wanted to pick up more freelance hours. And Dior only gave me like 20 hours a week. So my husband was looking at Craigslist and there was an ad that said they were looking for a part-time salesperson for this beauty line. He's like, this is great. You should go interview. And when I went to interview, it was with Jillian Dempsey, who's a celebrity makeup artist. And when I walked in for the interview, I saw all these pictures of celebrities and I thought to myself, I never even thought about it.
Whoa.
Never even thought about it.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is cool. Like, what a fun genre to be in, you know, that I started assisting her. And then, you know, one thing led to another. I persisted in following up with her agency, always being like, if anybody else needs help, if anyone else needs me to get their dry cleaning,
you're like, whatever you need.
I used to do it all. I mean, dry cleaning, babysitting, like the makeup artists, you know?
Whoa, that's deep.
I know. I mean, now it's like, you can't do that. It worked. It really worked.
Take me back to your very first big celebrity. You know, you're doing this. Can you say who it was? Because I know a lot of times we can't say, but tell me about your very first big celebrity when you kind of got that break. Because I know you're working with somebody else who's doing it and you're like, huh, maybe I can do this.
So the first person I did was a man. I had just gotten back. I was getting off the plane from a vacation and I had a bunch of texts and a bunch of voicemails. And it was a friend that I went to college with. And he was like, hey, are you around tomorrow? We need makeup for Lionel Richie.
What?
Yeah. And my dad was like the biggest Lionel Richie fan in the world. Who isn't a Lionel Richie fan, first of all?
I know.
So I was like, I got so excited, but then I also got so nervous and was like, I can't do this. I can do, you know, and then I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I call back. I'm like, did you find anyone yet? And they're like, no. They're like, great. Meet us here tomorrow at this time. You'll just touch him up for an interview. And I was like, okay. I like couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was so nervous. And when I got there, I mean, I couldn't have been more nervous. It was like so nerve wracking. And then he gets there, comes in with his assistant, the wardrobe. He's like so nice to me. I just like do a little of this and a little of that. And he couldn't have been lovelier. And it was like, I could breathe. And I was like, okay, he's a human. Like it's fine. And I listened to his interview and then I would like touch him up when he got shiny, but it was like such a great intro to the world because it was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely like, okay. And then the second one, the first woman I got was, she was a young lady at the time. Her name is Katrina Bowden. She was on that show 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Blonde, cute. And the show was nominated for a SAG. So it was a red carpet for a SAG. It was my first time. And I was like, and again, so nervous, freaked out, did her. She went to the carpet. And then you sit and you watch the internet to look at pictures. To make sure everything you did looks good because you never know how it's going to turn out. So that was super nerve wracking. She ended up like, everything was great. She ended up like texting me and saying like, hey, I left your lipstick at the front desk of the hotel. And I was like, back then I had to hold on to everything I had. Now I give it away. But so I went to pick it up and she had left me a tip, which is like unheard of, and a note that was like, thank you. I felt so beautiful. And I was like, I love this job. Like, but I will say for the first like 2 years of doing celebrities, I usually would have to pull over at like a diner and go to the bathroom before I went in.
Because you would just have to get yourself together.
My nerves. I was like, I was so nervous. And I not so much anymore, but I was such a people pleaser that I like, if it didn't go well, I'd be devastated.
But that is incredible to have those surreal moments. And I can visualize it with you. I'm like, I see Lionel Richie sitting there. I see the team and everything, you know, and just to have those surreal moments, because I want to go back to where this all kind of started for you. was this a childhood dream to do makeup? Like, how did you even find your way to makeup?
It's really weird. So I have an aunt who cuts hair and she lives in New York City, and she used to be in like London, and she opened the men's salon and for Vidal Sassoon. She was like, my aunt, who she never had kids, my aunt, uncle, she was always like the cool aunt. And I always thought what she did was so, it wasn't like what everybody else was doing. It was just something different. And I thought it was so cool, but I never really thought I could do that. I've always been into the arts, very creative, but never knew where to place that energy. And also growing up, you know, my mom, of course, would get ready and I would watch her and like play with all of her stuff. But she had a best friend who started doing makeup in salons, and I would go to her house and my friend would get mad at me because she'd be like, you're just hanging out with my mom the whole time. But I'd go in her room. She'd have all the caboodles with all the makeup in it. And I'd be like playing with everything. And it was so exciting to me. And I never thought like that was something that I could do, but it was always in the back of my head. So I went to film school, and in film school, I used to do everybody's makeup. And I was always at getting everybody ready. In high school, I played college soccer, and in high school, I played soccer. But all the girls on my soccer team in high school would make fun of me because I had like red lipstick and red nails.
Well, I can see it. You know, if they can see your nails now too, they're so cute. They're like purple and white and everything. So you realize, if you're looking back at your childhood, you're like, I always had this kind of fascination with beauty. So what clicked for you that said, okay, I've had this fascination, maybe I should try this, maybe I could be good at it? How did that come about?
I feel like the universe works in funny ways. We were living in New York, my husband and I. We had just gotten married, and he did not like his job. He was working in money and finance and stuff like that. And I was working in film. And we were both like, is this it? Is this what we are doing now? We were not fulfilled and we were not happy. And my husband's like, let's get out of New York. Let's do something else. And I was like, all right, well, I feel like the only other place we can go is like LA. And he's like, let's go to LA. We spent a summer in Pennsylvania before making the move out to LA. And I was like, what am I going to do with this time? I need to get a job. And I would go back and forth to the city a little, but I couldn't have we didn't have a place in the city anymore. So one of my friends was like, you should get a job at Ulta. Like it's like a makeup place. It's like Sephora. And I was like, okay. So I went in, I was like in my little suit and with a resume. They were like, you're in the wrong place. We used to wear suits and have resumes back in.
I know, you came in with the resume to Ulta. I said, hello.
Yes.
I need to tell you about myself.
Exactly. My Philo facts. And they were like, I got hired and I made like no money. Like, maybe $7 an hour. I'd have to wake up once a week at 4:30 to unload the truck. It was not a pretty job, but what was pretty is that you were surrounded by makeup all day, and all these people would come in and like train us, like different brands would send people to our store. I was really interested in that stuff, and you would get free stuff all the time. They'd come in and be like, hey, we're here from Pure. This is the 4-in-1 mineral powder. This is what it does. And this is why people should use it. And so they would give us some education, give us free gratis. And then I'd be like, oh my God, I'd start using it on myself and love it. And then I could sell it to anyone in the store. So it was like this great, and I would just keep, you know, starting to collect all my makeup. I was like an addict. I was like a makeup junkie. Mm. So then I started doing, I mean, I only knew really about Bare Minerals back then, because that was kind of like the thing. And so this woman came in and she was like, I need all new makeup. I don't know what to do. And I gave her a Bare Minerals makeover and she was so happy. And that exchange like changed the game for me. I was like, I love doing this. I love making people feel good. Like, it's really great to be able to do that. So that's when I knew, I was like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing this.
That is so interesting how life like just gives you opportunities and you didn't even realize it. You're just like, okay, we're taking a break. We're going to go out to LA. Your friend's like, you know what? In the meantime, just you love makeup, get a job at Ulta. And you're like, okay. And here doing makeup on this one lady, and this light bulb moment goes off for you and you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
So when you think about that light bulb moment going off for you and where you are now, what goes through your mind? Did you have any idea on the path that you were about to embark on?
You know, it's so funny. And all my friends yell at me. And I can say that I know that I try to own it a little bit more. But like in my mind, I'm still that girl. I'm still like, I haven't done it yet. You know, like I feel like I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean,
Wait a minute, Jamie.
That I don't know that I've done amazing things, because I am very aware and I'm very grateful. But part of me is I don't like I never wear my resume on my sleeve. And I think like it's taken me a long time to even be able to like talk about that. But I find that, you know, if I go out with a group of friends and we're meeting someone else's group of friends that nobody knows, I'll never lead with what I do or anything. I just keep it on the, you know, the down low and like just act like it's a job. I don't know. I'm conflicted because I don't know if it was because my mom was like, I had to be doing so many things. And so I don't know if it was the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I do try to celebrate more wins now because I know that it's amazing what I've done. And I know every day I thank God that I have this job. Some days I'm just driving. I'm like, I can't believe that I get to do this. Like, I'm not sitting in a cubicle. I'm doing something that's feeding my soul. So yes and no and all of the above.
So you don't necessarily see yourself as big time or you've made it big. It's kind of like in your mind, you're like, well, there's something else. There's always something else. Is that how you would describe it?
Yes. There's always something. Yeah. Like I don't feel like I've gotten to the top of the ladder.
Do you think that's good? Maybe that keeps you motivated. Because maybe if you felt like you'd arrived, you wouldn't keep showing up every day and challenging yourself.
I think you're right. And I think it's also like, I like the, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about like just how much everything's changed. I like that. I think I've always liked that. No matter what I was concentrating on, there always seemed to be like, you'd get a certain place and you'd be like, okay, what's next? What are we doing next? And I think, again, that was like my mom always being like, what's next? Okay, you volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House, but you should also be volunteering at the JCC. Like it was never enough. And I think that she had so much anxiety. So she like gave us that always be busy, always be doing something. So, but I will tell you that since I've parlayed into having my own product line, I find I love doing it. I love it so much and I really enjoy it. And I feel like I'm at the bottom of that journey. So for me, it's like, I love my day job and I don't ever want to stop doing that because I really love the women I work with. I don't really do men anymore. Sorry, Lionel.
He was a one-time shop.
No. Yeah.
One-time show.
Now I have something else. Like, it's like hobbies. It's like, you know, picking up, you know, playing something new or, you know, or like learning to, you know, any hobby, like learning a new sport and learning how to crochet, learning how to bake. It's something new to do. And I really love it.
And how did you even get there? Because I mean, I understand you start out, you know, we talked about making it as a celebrity makeup artist. And I can only imagine some of the celebrities you've worked with over the years. And then you're like, you know what? I think I can have my own product line. I mean, was this just something you have another light bulb moment or how did that even happen?
Yeah, I feel like I always in the back of my head, I would look, you know, when I would be sitting at like Bloomingdale's, you walk around and you're like playing with the latest Laura Mercier or the Bobbi Brown or the, you know, I always would just be like, wow, these women, these pioneers, these women that like thought to make the line before anyone really. It's pretty cool. And I would think about it a lot. And then to be honest, 6 years ago, maybe 7 years, wait, how old? Like 7 years ago, I met someone in New York and we were going to collab and make a line together and things just didn't work out. But I was always like, there's things that I make using other products to make a certain product. So like, I should be making those products.
Because you were like, when you're looking at somebody's face, you're like, I don't have the right color blush. Let me mix this with a little bit of this. And voila.
Exactly. That's how the Blylater came about. Because I take like a couple cream highlighters and a couple cream blushes and I'd mix it together and make the Blylater. And then I was like, well, why don't I just have that be my first product? Because everything's already out. You know, there's not much innovation, maybe some like packaging innovation, but as far as products go, it's behind the times. Like I'm in the trenches and I'll tell you that, like, I'm very like, I can't believe it's just very expensive. And unless you have tons of money. You can't really innovate that much.
Well, I was going to say, tell me more about what makes your product line and what you have all in that, because you're telling us a little bit about some of the products and what makes yours unique and why you felt like you had to do this. It wasn't just something you started to think about, but you're like, I've got to do this.
I know what works. I know what's easy to use. Sometimes I'll throw fake lashes on, but besides that, I'm very minimal. I have 3 kids, so that's like 3 more jobs. And I feel like I don't have that much time to get myself together. So for me, that all went into making a product that's easy, multitasking, and I wanted to have some fun with it. And I also wanted to make it, there's so many lines now that's like 10 products to get like a smoky eye. And I'm like,
and for the average person, we do not know what we're doing.
Right. And it comes with directions. And it's like, it's so overwhelming. And I just feel like there's this, like this whole fleet of women. I know a lot of the lines now are packaging towards the youth and not middle age. We're here. We're all here, and we want you to talk to us too. Like,
exactly.
Don't because of our age, don't act like we don't want to look beautiful and we don't want to have special stuff. So I felt like when I was talking to this other woman, we were going to create the line. They really wanted to go after the younger, and I'm like, but I'm not the younger. Like, why would I make a makeup line for the youth when I'm older? I'm midlife. And I'm on the back nine, and
I'm there with you. I'm there right? with you. I can feel you.
Sometimes it's like, so that was my whole thing. I'm like, let's make this easy. Let's make it so you don't need 1,000 products. Like, I'd like to keep it low. I'd like to come out with one thing at a time, like a little birth of something awesome, and make it multitasking, we give back 1% to the planet. We, try to do other things. As far as philanthropy goes, we also are vegan, cruelty-free, clean as clean can be. And now we're working with recycling. We're going to be doing recycling and all this stuff. But yeah, so the first product was the Blylighter, which was a blush highlighter hybrid. My husband was a business major. So we went to a psychic a long time ago, and the psychic told us that we should be working together and it would be successful. He didn't believe it. No, I'm just kidding. I guess he did, because he finally came around and he was like, we're going to do this and it's going to be great. And we started doing it, and it's so much work. I see why everyone doesn't do it. It's very easy nowadays to like, there's a lot of just put your name on something, but if you really want to make something,
and it's not your product, right? That you really made.
Exactly.
Private label, right?
Private label. There's a lot of brands out there that do private label, and people don't even realize it's private label, because why would they? I know. And so I'm everything from scratch. My husband has a company with another gentleman. One is really super artistic. My husband's good at the business. He's also really creative too. But so we all met and we're like, let's do this. Each product I come out with is designed by a different artist. So the first one was Yay Yay Weller out of Amsterdam. The second one was Nick Mack out of London. We have Maria Ruiz coming soon. She's in Spain. There's a woman named Aiko from Brooklyn who's doing the next products. There's a lot that goes into this. I feel like there's so many products on the line, and it's kind of just this, let's find packaging that's cheap. Let's not put much into this. Like, it costs a lot of money to print 4 colors on a piece of plastic.
I know. Just hearing you talk about it, just going through that journey, it seems like there was a lot that you had to put into it. And I think as people are looking at the entrepreneurial journey, did you have to make a lot of sacrifices along the way? I mean, we're hearing, of course, of the celebrity interviews and then having your own cosmetic line. And I can hear just all of the wheels that had to turn to make that happen. But did you feel like you also had to sacrifice to have this?
Yeah. I mean, sacrifice in the sense of like giving up like personal stuff, or sacrifice?
Yeah, like time.
Yeah, everything. Like,
finances. Cause I always say to people that you're often your first investor. So just the sacrifice that sometimes goes into launching something, getting something out there, doing that often requires something of you.
Yes. And yes, we are self-funded, and the kids don't have a heated pool. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, we are definitely, we're self-funded. We have a couple investors, very small, like that just believed in the project. And so they were like, all right, we're going to back you. Actually, one of them, I have to say it out loud because I think it's such a women supporting women. So have you heard of the brand Thrive Cosmetics?
I have. For some reason, it does sound familiar.
Yeah, they make that amazing mascara and they have.
Oh, I have it, actually. I do have
it. The teal.
I know, now that I think about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The teal. So when she started her line, we met and I helped her a lot because she had based the line after her friend passed away from cancer. So it was called Thrive Cosmetics. So every time somebody bought something, it was kind of that whole thing where she would give back. So we fell in love with each other. And she was like, do you want to create a color after your mother for the lip gloss? Because my mom had passed from cancer. And I was like, yes. We named it after my mom, Ruth. It's like one of her number one selling SKUs. It was like so awesome. Mm. And it meant so much to me at the time because I had recently had lost my mom. And so she's like, we made, you know, money. I want to pay you. And I was like, no. Whatever you were going to pay me, just donate it, you know, donate it to charity. And throughout the last, you know, whatever, 7 years that we've known each other, I've put it on the front of Cosmo. I've put it on all my clients. I've put it, you know, and so she's always like, I need to get you back. And I'm like, no. Over COVID, she sent me Peloton. She's like, you won't let me give you money, but I can buy you a gift. And then when I told her I was launching, she's like, I'm buying the first product and I'm going to put money into your, yeah. So it's like, she owns a makeup line. That's like, it doesn't matter what you do. If you want to support other women, you can.
That is such a beautiful story because you gave, and it goes back to the beginning of your journey where you talked about early on, it was through that giving, right? That doors open. And here, fast forward years later, you give to somebody else and believe in what they're doing. And when your dream time came, she was there to invest and support you. I mean, that is just like a full circle moment, I think, as I look back at that.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I call her still, like, I'll be like, I'm nervous because they want us to buy, you know, 50,000 of these. And I'm scared because I don't know. And she's like, gives me the best advice. And like, I still can't believe that people like her exist, but it's like, there's so many people that slammed the door in our face and like said no and like don't believe in you. But then there's people that do believe in you. And then there's you, meaning yourself, who has to believe in you, you know? I don't want everyone to think that this has been a smooth ride because look, I have let me bring my kids in and they can tell you how I lose my cool. I have no patience. It's not all puppies and butterflies is what I'm saying.
No, I can imagine because a lot of times we do see the glamorous side of it. We see the success you've had. We see the celebrities you've interviewed, but it is a lot of hard work. What would you say to someone who's saying, I want to go down this path? What do you wish someone had shared with you? Because I think this is a good time to start to get into some of the wisdom you've learned on this journey. What would you say to somebody about what you hope they learn from your experience?
Well, I do want to say that if you truly love something and you're passionate about it, do not give up. Because I had no right being, I always think I'm like the underdog because I'm like, I can't believe I'm in this, you know, you see people and they look the part and I'm just like this girl from Maryland, like not the part. I really believe that if like it's cliche and people say it for a reason, the whole thing about if you don't give up, you'll get there. Mm. If you really enjoy it and love it and you work really hard, you can get there. Also, you should start an Instagram and a TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, these days, one of my cousins, actually, he started, that's how he got found by Ellen. He did a social media video and it went viral, got picked up by Ellen, and now he has his own show. I mean, it just like, and it all started from social media and somebody seeing him.
That's a way to get in too, you know? And I love that. I think social media is amazing. I love it. I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't like about it, but I just think it's how lucky that people have that to showcase their talents. You know, look at that story you just told me. That's amazing.
I know. I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, how did that? I mean, it's amazing what people can do. And I love what you said, you know, about giving up. And I touched on that a little bit, but also I wanted to, as we kind of wrap up this, I want to talk about manifesting your dreams too, like believing in yourself. And there was something that you said early on, like the rejection, Like there was a lot of rejection early on, and I want you to touch on that. But dealing, how did you deal with that rejection to not give up and then to even go further to manifest your dreams?
So I feel like, you know, in the beginning of the career, let me tell you what the rejection looks like in my business. So you go, well, this is just in the celebrity world. You know, there was rejection. There was other types of rejection in each step, but I'll just stay in the. So when you get sent out to a job, you get a call from your agent and they say, hey, you're going to go do Jane Doe in Laguna Niguel. You're going to her house. She's going to the opening of an envelope and you are going to get her ready for the red carpet. So you look online and try to do your due diligence, see what they look good in, see how they wear their stuff. And then you drive to their house, you go in, and it's like a blind date. You go in somebody's house that you've never met before and you have a dialogue and then you touch their face and get them ready for an event. Now, just like anything, think about when you're dating, how many bad dates you have. It's the same thing. So you go, you know, I definitely lead with comedy. So if I lead with comedy and I realize it's not being absorbed, you're like, oh, this is not a match. But, you know, young me didn't understand that. Young me just took it as they didn't like me. They didn't like me, you know? Mm. And I remember I used to come home and cry because my agent would be like, I don't think it was a match, but, you know, ba-da-ba-da-da. Sometimes you'd hear it wasn't a match or you just never get called back again. But then you'd walk in a house and you would click with somebody. There'd be like this magic. And then look, I've been doing some of these clients for over a decade. Like they become your people, you know? So I did do a lot of crying. I would go to therapy and not understand like, you know, that rejection, it was so personal to me. And in this business too, what's interesting for those of you, there's rejection at this stage in the game too, because you'll be working with somebody for 7 years. And then all of a sudden, for no reason at all ever given, there's no phone call breakup, nothing. You know everything about them. You're in their personal space. You see them naked. You see them crying. You see them happy. You see their kids. You see whatever it is. You're so intimate with these people. Literally ghost. Never to be seen again.
Whoa.
And you have to get over that.
How do you get over that?
You know, it definitely stings and it used to sting so much worse, but having other things like social media that make me money, you know, like at the end of the day, it hurts for many reasons. One, it's a paycheck. Two, it's your friend. You thought it was your friend. It's about diversifying yourself, like not just having one stream of what, you know, it's like, if you, let's say you like makeup, do weddings, learn special effects. Do you know what I mean? Like there's, you have, and that's what I feel like I've done. I've like, I have my social media audience who I love and they help me get paid on things. I have now my makeup line that I can sell. So I've like, and then I have my day job. But if like my husband always used to say, he's like, you have to free yourself. Like there's always going to be rejection. And my mentors get rejected till this day with their A-list number one celebrities. And I'm like, no one can get away from it. And it could be anything. It could be a breakup. It could be a new publicist that's like, you know what? I want you to try a whole new team. Or there's no rhyme or reason, but it's not personal. It literally is business.
Oh, that's so good to be able to remember. Because I could imagine how hard that was. You work for somebody 7 years and then all of a sudden they just, and you're like, what happened? Was it something I said? Maybe I should have laughed.
Yes.
Maybe, you know what? You know, you're
all of the brain games go on. Yes. You become crazy and you're like, and it's very sad. It's a death. It's a grief. You know, and there's still,
but you said not taking that personal, you know, like you said, and being able to diversify. And I think that's so critical because so many times we become laser focused, but now you're like celebrity makeup artist, then you know, beauty influencer, and then you have your cosmetic line. So there's always something that's feeding you and not this just one area. And I think that is so important for people to know. And one of the other things I wanted to ask you before we wrap up is, what are some of the secrets to your success in terms of your daily routine? Is there things that you do? Because your mindset is on point, girl.
Thank you.
I can tell that you are, you know, like you said, you lead with comedy, but I can tell your energy is just vibrant And even though you were running in for this interview, you got kids yelling in the background, you know, things ran behind, but you still come with that. So what do you do to keep yourself motivated and inspired in your daily routine?
Thank you. And right back at you. I would say exercise is a huge part of my daily routine. I love to exercise. I know people think that's crazy. People hate it. I love it. If I could exercise all day, I would. So I find things that I like to do and I do them, and that sets the day for me. I would say that's the most important thing. And then of course, just like, you know, I have my little journals over here. So when I feel like I'm starting to get into a negative space, I try to write more, meditate. I haven't done yoga in a beat, but I used to be really into yoga. But I have a lot of tools. So when I don't feel good, I know how to get myself out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. I think I know LA is hippy dippy, but I do appreciate that there's so many places to learn about yourself, to be able to find things to use so that you can, because life's hard, you know, like, I mean, I'm sitting up here telling you all the good stuff, but you know, life is hard. There's death, there's loss, there's heartache, there's breakups, there's failures. And you, how do you get through them? There's so much now that you can, you know, there's so many people on Instagram that I love. They're like quotes and they're inspirational. And I think that's what it is. Just like find people.
Find your tribe.
Mm-hmm. Find people that you like to hear them talk. Look at your friend group. Are people bringing you down? Like, I feel like I'm in my mid 40s and I feel like I am finally, like, if I don't walk away from a situation feeling good about myself, those aren't my people. And I feel like I'm at an age now where I can really feel that. I can really see that. And you have to protect yourself. It's all you have. So you got to get the tools to be able to cope. And then you got to practice. You can't just go to one yoga class and be like, it didn't work. It's a lot of work. It's another job.
One of the final messages, it seems like if you put in the time, you stay committed, you stay the course, you give. And I mean, using it in a reasonable, you know, being reasonable about when you give, but it all comes full circle. And when you think about your life now, how would you describe being able to get up every day and do what you do?
I am blown away with gratitude at the fact that that's how I make money, that I've been able to purchase a house and pay for my kids' clothes and sports and food. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I see one of the kids in the background.
But I can't believe it. I look at everything. I'm like, I bought all this? And I'm not saying like fancy stuff. I can't even do that anymore. I can't waste my money on that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, look, all the makeup I get is free. It's like there's perks to the job, but I'm just literally proud of myself. And I'm proud of myself. Like I
love that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, I'm just realizing, but you know, like I said, I had my parents, the best parents, but were very like always expecting the best. And so for a long time, I wanted their approval. And now I'm like past that. And I'm like, it's me. I'm proud of myself for doing this. And I'm really content. Like, I just want to have this great line and keep making things for women and connecting with women, just like you and everyone in your audience. And then just like continue that way and just live and
keep on doing
it. Yeah. Giving back.
As we wrap up, I have my final question, but I also want you to tell where we can get the makeup line. Cause I know people are hearing that. So I want to make sure people know where they can go out and purchase and support you. But then I want you to end with, what is the best piece of advice that you've received on this journey?
So you can go to jamiemakeup.com and you can follow me at jamiemakeup on Twitter. I mean, no, I'm not on Twitter. At jamiemakeup on Instagram, at jamiemakeup on Facebook, and of course, TikTok. And you can buy everything at jamiemakeup.com. And the best advice ever given to me throughout my entire career is be yourself.
That's so good. You know what? Somebody else said that in another episode. So that is so good. And it's a reminder about the power of authenticity.
Amen.
And showing up. Well, Jamie, you have been a delight. I've learned so much. Girl, I could sit and talk to you all day on the couch.
I know. Can we hang out?
You know what I mean? I know. I'm like, Jamie, what are you?
I want to talk about you. Enough about me. Who cares?
But yes, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had fun.
What was your biggest aha moment from today's show? For me, it was the power of giving and how giving can sometimes open the door to new opportunities. While it's a fine line, it has worked for me on several occasions when I first started out. The key is knowing when and how much to give. If you are inspired by the women you hear on my podcast, please share this with a friend, subscribe to the show, and leave a review. Your support will help more people find us. To learn more about our guests, visit shesbigtimenow.com. Thank you so much for listening.